Welcome to the conversation, everyone. Have you thought about your comments or questions about music? Are you going to participate in today's conversation? I hope that you will. The number is 503-325-0010. My name's Graham Nystrom, and I'll be the host today. What we are hearing at the moment is a track called Bye Bye Bees by Todd Sickafoos. Have you ever heard of Todd Sickafoos before? I hadn't, but last week I made a post on the old Facebook asking who your favorite musician, composer, singer-songwriter, performer, or band was and why. And this was Bela Balog's contribution to the list. Bela plays violin in the group Three-Legged Torso, who hopefully you've seen as they come through town once or twice a year at the very least. All amazing people in the band, fantastic instrumentalists and musicians, composers. And so, you know, whatever Bela likes, I like. That's the deal. So we're going to explore the topic of music a little bit more deeply today, getting into what it does for us. I heard some really amazing comments after the show last week about what music has meant for some people in their life, including, you know, one that really stood out to me was a gentleman who experiences chronic pain due to some shoulder and knee stuff, and he's on the other side of a couple of surgeries. He's on the front end of possibly one or two more. But music is one of the things that really helps. It can take your mind off of things. It can bring you out of whether it's emotional or physical pain. It can also be a way that we celebrate, a way that we come together, a way that we express our emotions. And not even as musicians, but as listeners. You know, how many times have you listened to a piece of music that brought out some emotion in you? Is there a particular time in your life that music was really there for you? I'm curious to hear about it, and hopefully everyone listening is interested as well. I love music, but music is not the only art form that I love and appreciate. And so I hope that you'll call in with a comment about another art form that's meaningful to you. It could be painting or dance, knitting. But we've got our first caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, Graham, is that you?
Yeah, that's me. Hey.
Hey, this is Martin.
Hi, Martin.
I wanted to let you know that I'm losing my eyesight and music gives me something to pursue. Because I was a visual artist and designer, so I can still dig around and be artsy.
That's great.
Even though everything else is disappearing. And it, you know, music is pretty much, it gets as deep as you want to go. And it can be all-consuming. And it's really the one thing that keeps me going.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Now, I knew that you had difficulty with your eyesight, but I didn't know that it was something that was coming on and happening. I thought it had. I didn't know. And so, can you tell me a little bit about
going out?
For what reason are you losing your eyesight?
Genetic problem. I'm kind of hoping that they get CRISPR up and running, but it's a genetic thing, and it my retinas are just dying, and there's no, you know, it's like, it's kind of odd because there's no confirmed result to expect. Hmm. So all I know is it's just fading, fading, fading. Colors are gone. It's becoming flat and black. So music is rich.
There's a lot of color in music.
Music has color. Music has feeling. Music has movement. Music has all of that stuff. So it's like, I've been left with something really nice, you know, and if I didn't have music, I don't know, it would just be gone. Because my other thing is gardening.
Hmm.
And most people that know me as a person with a garden, or a garden that has a person. And I have to go out and feel things to really know what's going on out there. It's, I used to look out and there would just be instant joy. I can't do that anymore. So now I put on some music.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad that music is there for you. And thanks for the call, Martin.
Yeah, you bet.
Take care.
Bye.
Martin is a vocalist. He has a fine voice. And I'm glad that music is providing an avenue for him to appreciate the beauty of the world, even though he doesn't have his eyesight or it's not what it used to be. So to sort of pick up where we left off last week, we had been talking about favorite musicians. And so I did want to share that Joni Mitchell, I think across the board, was the most often cited favorite musician. But there were some really interesting other additions to the list. And so I want to go through a few of those now, in case these are people that you haven't heard of and you're interested in exploring some new musical directions or artists. So perhaps you've heard of Brian Eno. Pink Floyd was a regular shower on the list. A somewhat local band called Illa Bamba. They sing in a blend of English and Spanish. Good harmonies. We've got a Jackson Brown fan, Cat Stevens and Jim Croce. We heard about Stravinsky, how he really pushed musical boundaries. Itzhak Perlman, who I believe is a violinist. We've got a vote for Chris Wiseman, another person I had not heard of before. Springsteen made the list a couple of times. If you haven't checked out the catalog, might be a good time. We've got a vote for Modest Mouse, and we've got a vote for Ariel Pink, and let's see, the Beatles showed up a couple times, if you can believe that. Fancy that. We've got a vote for Neil Peart? Not sure how to pronounce it. Sorry, Rush fans, but Neil is the drummer for Rush. He had a mastery in rhythm. Leonard Cohen had a couple votes for Leonard. The Cure, and in particular the album Disintegration. Let's see, John Prine came up a couple of times. Townes Van Zandt, Roy Orbison. It's kind of amazing how few duplicates there really were. And so when I say that Joni Mitchell made the list, you know, she made it more than everybody else, but you can see that this is a pretty diverse list. We had a vote for Stevie Wonder. I think that's a great one. A gal named Amanda said that her earliest memories of her parents' vinyl collection had lots of Stevie's records, and she doesn't think she'll ever get tired of them. The songwriting, the voice, the musicianship, the whole package. Anna in Astoria said, and I hope I can pronounce this somewhat accurately, but Emahoy Tsugui Mariam Gubrau, another artist that I had not heard of before that I plan on checking out. And let's see, Todd in Astoria said Tom Waits. That's a good one. And another vote for Townes Van Zandt. We heard about Pete Seeger and how important it is to sing together. And so as I go through this list and you think of things that you want to say about music, I do invite you to give us a call. The number's 503-325-0010. And we do have our next caller. So, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, are you talking to me now?
I'm talking to you.
Okay, well, you left Eric Clapton off that list, and I just had to call in and say you've got to have Eric Clapton.
Yes, absolutely.
And I mean, over the entirety of his career, from way back in the early days up to the present, he's still around and still producing.
Absolutely.
Yeah. The other point I wanted to make was you were talking about somebody, a friend of yours, who's going blind. I have a friend who's in a nursing home, and she's enabled. She's not able to get around, so now music and books on audio have become her life, and it's keeping her alive. So music is really critical even after we're not able to get out and about.
Yeah, I think the connection that you can feel through music is pretty powerful and pretty important.
Yeah.
Great. Well, thanks for the call, and thanks for
the vote
for Eric. Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, bye.
Bye. So we've got a vote for Eric Clapton, and I assume that includes the Yardbirds and Derek and the Dominoes and Cream and all the amazing things that he's participated in. We've got a note from Pete. We've got a vote for Cole Porter. Thank you, Pete. And let's see. I'm going to get to a little bit of music here as well during some of these interludes, but don't hesitate to give us a call, 503-325-0010. Add to the list of favorite musicians and also add to the explanations of what music means to us and why it's important, or, you know, maybe an anecdote about a time that music was there for you. And we do have our next caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello, is that me?
That's you. Hi.
Good morning.
Morning.
Thank you for your show. Thank you for your station.
Sure.
I went through a terrible, prolonged period of extreme fibromyalgia, which I have recovered from. That's another story. But anyway, at that time, probably around the millennium or so, I still have poor memory as a lingering aspect of fibro, which isn't unusual. But anyway, my doctor prescribed a pretty heavy level of sleep medication because it was thought then that if you could improve the sleeping, you could reduce the pain factor with fibro. And over the course of perhaps like maybe 6 months or so, the dosage was increased, which is common with sleep medication, and so you've always got to be really wary of it. And I felt pretty confident that my doctor was doing all that he could to help out, and so I took the sleep medication. But after about 6 months, nothing was working, and the level of sleep medication had risen to the point that the doctor said, you cannot have any more sleep medication or you will overdose. And I said, well, this hasn't improved my sleep. It has deepened my sleep, but, you know, what are we going to do? And he said, I'm going to take you off the sleep medication entirely, which is what he did, all of it. And so I then went on. This is hard for me to even believe myself now, but I went on from there to an episode of 23 days without any sleep at all.
Oh, my God.
Which, number one, points up how seriously prescription medication, even prescribed by a doctor, can sometimes just impact a person's system. It also made me understand the power of addiction and how difficult it is for people when you are on a very serious substance, what happens when you do not get any more of it. So 23 days without sleep, and I'm not exaggerating, and I was fortunate that my circumstances were such that I did not have to get up, go out the front door, and go to work every day and try to maintain a regular life. And all I could do is rest, because by the fifth or sixth, tenth day without sleep, your entire body just aches. I can't even express how horrible it is. So I was by the radio all that time, because that's about all I could afford was the radio. And there was a local Christian station in Albany always playing just gentle, just sweet, just kind, mellow music continuously. And that got me through to the 23rd day when I got like 6 hours of sleep, and I knew my sleep was coming back. So I feel forever grateful to that station, forever grateful to that music, and to the power of music and the gift of music. And that's my strange story. And my artist that I would put forward is Kate Bush, Ariel. It's a beautiful, beautiful CD album, work of music.
She's an amazing vocalist.
She's a wondrous songwriter, too, and she really evokes and conveys. I mean, she's quite a... But I love Joni Mitchell. I like everyone that's been mentioned, of course. The world of music is so broad, so varied, so rich, and it's so important. So thank you so much. I'm glad to share that story. I like to send on how difficult addiction really is, and that we've been very hard on the addicted for a long time, and we do not look hard enough, and this includes particularly the illegal component, those who bring people into addiction. My doctor did not intend for that to happen to me, but there are so many people that are struggling with addiction, and it made me understand much, much more how much help they really need. So I hope that we can get that to them.
So if it's okay to ask, do you know what caused that period of lack of sleep? Was it because you got off that medication that you weren't able to sleep?
Yes. It's basically, it appears to me, from what I understand, you develop your sleep mechanism becomes entirely dependent upon the structure of the drug. And then when the drug is withdrawn, this is why, like, in cases of many celebrities that suffer from drug addiction. For instance, Marilyn Monroe is a classic picture because she became addicted to sleep medication. And the body develops a dependence upon it for its sleep mechanism. And it pretty much takes over all of it. And so the person requires more sleep to get the little bit that they did before. And eventually, they're reaching a point where they're not getting any sleep at all, but they will get an overdose from the product. It's or from the substance. It is that controlling upon a person's physical system, not just psychologically, but, you know, sleep is part of a physical mechanism of the body. And so these substances that people take to get them through whatever they're going through, in my instance, it was fibromyalgia. In other people's situation, it could be insomnia, perhaps due to stress and et cetera, but it overtakes the body's own mechanism, and the body becomes very dependent upon it, and yet the dosage is increased to the point where it can bring overdose very easily. And so these substances are very dangerous, and people need fresh air. They need to walk outside. They need outside light. They need comfort and encouragement from their friends. And I talk a lot about this in a lot of different ways. So I guess I should just leave it at that. But yes, they are that powerful that it's a matter of actual physical dependence to try to get to any point of sleep. And after a certain point, you don't get to sleep, but you will get to an overdose. So it's very serious and a problem for the country.
Well, that's quite a story, and I appreciate you sharing it. Thank you so much.
Well, I will forever appreciate that nation or that station as well. And they're still playing in Albany, and I appreciate them, and I appreciate your station also. Thank you, thank you.
Thank you for the call.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. Bye.
And while Pete patches the next caller in, I just want to say thanks again to that caller. That's a really good example of what music can do for you to bring comfort when you need it. We have our next caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Graham. It's Brian. How's it going?
Well, hey, Brian. It's great. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. My comment was just about how music is kind of the universal language. Mm. And as the father of two young kids, I was amazed to see them at a very, very young age just pick up on music and start dancing. And as soon as they got some of their first words, they were about music.
Well, that sounds like some good parenting.
But also just any kids. You see them. I was honored to witness my children's performance at the Little Sprouts school that our Parks and Rec puts on. And they had kids from one-year-old on to five years old, and they were all dancing and singing. And some of them cannot communicate so well, but they could do that very well. And it was very inspiring to have that, especially around the holidays, as there's a lot of music that can be argued over whether it's appropriate or not, depending on Christmas holidays, whatever you call them. I think music in general can be agreed upon as a universal language.
Absolutely. And one of the interesting things about music and the sort of impulse to dance when you hear it, you know, that barrier is almost non-existent with kids. But then as we get older and become adults, it becomes a little bit harder to break out of yourself and your body and your ego and just let yourself go to the music. But with kids, it's instantaneous and effortless.
And that is one of the first emotional reactions that they have outside of smiling and laughing is dancing. It's one of the first ways that they can express themselves. And it really, really blew me away watching the kids at a young age. And that was kind of the biggest takeaway that I had as far as how music affects all people.
Well, thanks for the call, and keep up the good work, Papa Bovenizer.
Yeah, good conversation, Graham. Thanks for doing the show.
Okay, see ya.
Bye.
All right, thanks to Brian. Music is the universal language. How true is that? I think that the appeal that it has, no matter your language, no matter your age, it's you can't deny it. We've got our next caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, good morning. I was just wanted to give a shout out to songwriters. It seems like the focus has been on musicians, and you mentioned Cole Porter, And the songwriting, to me at least, it's how we get our poetry these days. Most of it is set to music. And something your listeners might agree upon is the era of the mid to late 60s through the early 70s. It seemed like there was a real wave of great songwriters that came through, people like Leonard Cohen and Joni Mitchell and John Prine, that's for Brian, and a number of others. But I'm not familiar enough with new music to know if the songwriters have the chops of those lyricists that I mentioned. But when you talk about music, I think you should include the songwriters. And it's a mysterious craft that I've never managed to get one sentence achieved in.
Well, I think that period was kind of the birth of the singer-songwriter, wasn't it?
Say that again?
That period was the birth of the singer-songwriter, where, you know, traditionally singers were not the ones writing the songs. But that all that all changed.
Yeah, it may have been the folk music style which put more emphasis on lyrics. I'm not sure, but it seemed to have a real hot spot there in that era with some great young songwriters.
Well, hopefully there's still equally good poetry being made today. If nothing else, I think you can say that all the poets and singer-songwriters of today were inspired to be that because of the poetry and the quality of the songwriting that they grew up listening to.
Yeah, there's probably more wordsmithing. You know, you mentioned Cole Porter, and if you dig into his catalog, just amazing wordplay and rhymes and emotive poetry that he kind of defined the craft, I think, during his era.
All right, well, thank you for the call.
You're welcome.
Take care. And, you know, stay tuned for the next 7 minutes. We're still talking about music. We love hearing your stories about what music means to you, when it's been there for you, or, you know, just insights about some of your favorite musicians and why. The number is 503-325-0010. We welcome your call. We've got two people on the line, and one of them is on the air now. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
First, of course, Leonard Cohen has got to be right up there. But I also want to give a great tribute to, speaking of songwriters, so many of the current songwriters who are speaking for so many of us. And it is an honor to be able to air their music. People like Jim Page in Seattle, Kleinman Poetry, and we have it on KMUN all the time. It's very exciting. But I wanted to also tell a story apropos of what Brian said. I agree 100% universal language, music, and dance. You can talk to people without understanding languages or having anything to do, and you can all join together. My mother had dementia for 10 and a half years, and she was 3,000 miles away. And the phone calls ended up being most successful when I started singing. And it wasn't the people I play on the radio. It was the old-time stuff. And it was also music that either she had grown up with, You Are My Sunshine, or stuff that she had done in her own family, or religious music that was part of the culture. And that can happen any season of the year and go really, really deep. But the main thing is, and it's been shown with studies, that music is in there even when everything else seems to be gone. The music stays with you, including the words. It was incredible.
It's such a deeply ingrained universal language that it even can pass through the barrier of dementia.
Absolutely, yeah.
And amazing.
And for a connection Yeah. A rich, rich connection, whether you're 3,000 miles away or you're sitting there holding someone's hand, singing a song together or humming even together. And it's a very special experience. So,
well, that seems like something that we can all remember, because, you know, every family at some point may have to experience a family member having dementia. And so that's a really good thing to remember, is to know what music that they loved in their lifetime and sing it for them and play it for them.
Right. I hope most people don't have to go through it. But if you do, just remember music is a beautiful way to connect. So thanks for the show.
Thanks for the call.
Bye.
Bye. This is The Conversation on Coast Community Radio, and we are talking about music today. Do you have a story about what music means to you? Give us a call, 503-325-0010. I got a text from someone who said that they would call, but they're waiting in a virtual line on the computer for Flaming Lips tickets next summer, so maybe that's a vote for Flaming Lips. I don't know. Okay, our next caller is on the air. Hi there, welcome.
Hi, Graham. It's Todd.
Hey, Todd.
Hey, I wanted to as a less serious response to a musician or a writer, in less insightful response as well. But check out Sammy Hagar.
Sammy Hagar's
doing these days. I mean, he's 72 years old.
Wow.
And he has a show called Rock and Roll Road Trip.
Uh-huh.
And if you see what he's doing these days in his tireless energy and what he's bringing compared to some of the, you know, his peers that he's been in bands with and whatnot, he looks like he could be their son.
Wow.
But, Sammy Hagar.
I had no idea. I mean, yeah. I knew that he couldn't drive 55, but I didn't know about the road trip.
Check out. I just want people to go online and just check out how great Sammy Hagar looks and his show. He interviews people like John Mellencamp and Vince Neil, and it's very interesting. But thank you, Graham. Appreciate
cool. Thanks
the show
for the call.
Very much.
Yeah. And if you're listening, be sure and tune in for Todd's radio show, Crossroads, every other Saturday. He alternates with Bonnie Lively, who also does a fantastic Crossroads program. And we heard from a couple other programmers today, so I appreciate that. We are getting to the top of the hour, and so looks like we have one more call coming in. I'm going to hold on for that, and then we're going to go out celebrating Joni Mitchell with a Joni Mitchell tune, since she was at the top of the list of favorite musicians of all time. Hi, you're our last caller today, and you're on the air.
Hi, Graham. It's Susie.
Hey, Susie.
I've been listening in my car.
Oh, good.
I would like to say Mozart. We didn't remember to mention Mozart.
Good, good.
And Bach, of course. But when I was a child, my sister used to play piano, and I remember hearing her play Mozart, and it just got to me when I was really young, and it's always, always beautiful. But also, I wanted to say my sister is one of my favorite musicians because she's inspired me so much.
That's so nice.
I wanted to say that... when my son was about 4 years old, he got to hear them play music, and they were on a hill, and they opened up their instruments and started to play, and he started this incredible reaction to the music was rock and roll. He started jumping up and down screaming rock and roll because he heard live music coming out of instruments, and I think that's so important that we hear live music.
Totally.
At a young age. So I'm just trying to say, there's so much music, how can you say who's your favorite? Because everything inspires everybody else.
Well, of course. Yeah.
The people we all mentioned, for instance, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, I love music, and I agree with everybody that if there's nothing else left, if we just have music, it will keep our spirits alive.
Well said, Susie. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for the program.
Thank you. Okay, the calls are coming in. I'm going to try to squeeze them in, and we may overlap with headline news for just a couple minutes, if that's all right with you. If it's not, you can email me, graham@coastradio.org, and let me know. Hi, you're on the air. What's your comment or question? Hello, you're on the air.
Yeah, my name's Joel Fitz. I live in Grays River.
Hi, Joel.
Well, I love your show. I always love listening to you guys. Anyway, I was fortunate to grow up in a musical family. My mother and her three sisters all played piano and violin, and my grandmother taught music at the Conservatory of Music in Lawrence College in Wisconsin. And I carried on the music. I play guitar. I write poetry, mostly Western.
Cool.
And sing folk songs and cowboy music. And my son's carrying it on for me. And music is a huge part of our lives. And we just enjoy it so much. And we enjoy all the talent, too, around Astoria and Grace River here, too. We've got some wonderful, talented people. And so I just like to take my hat off to all of them and to you for providing this conversation.
Well, thanks for carrying on the tradition and passing it along to your kids as well.
So, have a wonderful Merry Christmas, and thanks for all you do.
Thank you. Bye. Okay, one last call before we hang it up and go to headline news. Wait for Pete, our fine phone answerer, to patch through. Hi, you're on the air. What's your comment today?
Hi, this is Brenda, and I just want to give a shout-out to soul music. I love all the music that people have mentioned, but Aretha Franklin has to be mentioned, along with Smokey Robinson and Wilson Pickett and all those folks. If you need your endorphins up, that's the music to listen to.
Some Otis Redding in there.
Oh, you bet. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, great call.
It has kept me. It's brightened many a day for me.
All right. Thanks for the call, Brenda.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye. All right, as promised, let's hear a little something from Joni Mitchell. Thank you so much to everybody who called today. Thanks for listening. This is KMUN Astoria, KTCB Tillamook, coastradio.org.